Taylor. Here's the story. I had two shirts made. He took measurements. And he went home and made the first shirt and brought it to me. And the neck was about 3 inches smaller than it needed to be. And I know what happened. He took the measurement. He went home and he thought that can't be right. I even had a problem with neck sizes and shirts here. But anyway, so he went home and he fixed that. But when he made shirt number two, he was taking no chances. So I started having to practice and I thought, that's going to be shorter this way. So I was getting ready to go on time and I thought, wait a minute, I got a shirt. I can't believe it. Just wear that. Well, we don't have quite as many pictures this time. I'm not exactly sure why I wasn't as good at taking pictures. Well, I didn't know why. Because had somebody on the trip that was supposed to be taking a lot of pictures for me, and I'm sure she would have, but I never handed my camera and asked her to. So, minimum pictures. And I started to borrow some from DJ, because DJ took some awesome pictures. But problem number two was he kept taking beautiful pictures of wildlife. That's great, but it didn't make a big bit of the presentation. But besides that, third reason is I always have more material than I can get through, so I thought it's probably better this way. Let me give you a quick breakdown of what we were doing this time. I was leaving a week ahead because I needed to teach at the school of preaching for a week, so I decided to go a week early. Do my thing at the Thomas Mason School of Preaching. At that point, I would be joined by Van Sprague, DJ, and a young lady named Elizabeth Petrick. And she had been just wanting to go. I'd get these calls from her, seem like every few days, panic stricken, saying, are you sure there's going to be something for me to do? I need to know exactly what I'm going to do. I can't say that. I promise you, you will be busy. But we can make all the plans we want to, but this is Kenya. Those plans won't fly. You've got to be flexible and you've got to do what's in front of you. And, just when you begin, it seems to me to the teeth, I don't really like making plans anyway. And so just handling things as they come, it's not my style. But I could not communicate that to her. Well, this was the first time I've taken anybody up to DJ with me, John, the first time that, aside from others, you know, I've been a couple times by myself, and just needed one other, so I had some concerns of my own, that they worked so hard and so well, and I was so pleased with the results. I'm going to talk about that again. We baptized 17 while we were there, two restorations, and I think it's very safe to say that we'll have several other conversions as a result of studies that we had. I have several individuals that I have been studying with that I feel like are prime and ready. So we did a lot of good. Elizabeth, bless her heart, as I suspected, had a class of young people to teach everywhere we went. And she got a nickname from the sidetrack. It's got a funny postscript to it. But anyway, here we go. I always like to start out with a map of Kenya. However, when you're looking at the map, you can find my pointer. You have to point at that. There it is. Okay, now you can follow with me. That's the edge of Lake Victoria. See this line along here? I have never been north of that line. So all of my experience in Kenya has been the lower two-thirds of the country. But you've been there, you've probably been above that area. I'm told it's mostly a desert. I suspect that's why that there's not a lot going on there. I'm going to make you curious. Okay. I'm clicking there. Nothing's happening. I can click as just do it better.
No, you try.
Give me a wife, of course.
Try it again.
All right, so here's geographically what we're doing. First, when I hit the ground in Nairobi, which would have been April the 7th, that was on Thursday night, we're landing here at Nairobi. But because I had to go to this area, which is known as Western Kenya, flew to the city the following morning and began my work. In fact, that very afternoon, we had hustled a few hours to get to Burundi, was the name of the community. Some of you may remember my mention of Brother Julius Okeba in previous presentations. He's one of the men that we support. And every time I go up there, I'm reminded of, and there's a more tighter view of it. I did that myself that time. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we go up to Rwanda, and one of the reasons that it's important that we are helping Brother Julius, he has sort of an unofficial presence there. He is very influential among preachers in that area, and every time I go there, he'll have me do what in the States we call a seminar for preachers. And that happened on Saturday, Friday afternoon. We get up there, and he decides we need to go preach in the city, in this little square, which was quite an interesting experience. As you're looking at it, an unfinished building, sort of like a loading dock, but I don't think that's what it was. But we actually have a microphone, which was the first for me in Kenya. The reason that we had a microphone is that they were in the middle of campaigning for a public office. And this was their primary season. And so the way that they campaigned is they get about 40 guys and put them in the back of the dump truck. And then they get about 40 other guys traveling on motorcycles, and they're all yelling, and then some guy is on a loudspeaker, he's got a truck that sounds about like the ones that these kids have, only the speakers are from a PA system, and he's soccer team a few years ago. Do you feel what those things are? Yeah. Do you? Because I've never heard of one. I wouldn't buy one really bad. But here they come, they sound like this. Like that. So that's all you can hear, but it is a circus. So they decided to be the animal. So anyway, the fellows you see there are preachers around. You can't really see that, but around the edges were people who were just there selling and buying things, and I caught several of them listening, so it was an interesting experience. The following day, I was asked to talk to these men about leadership. I started asking Julius, do you see leadership in general or the eldership? And I decided, I don't want to know. I'm going to talk about, and I got pretty specific about eldership. Because in the nation of Kenya, among our brethren, we have our greatest faith. And I think, I look back and think 20 years ago, if we started really thinking about that, we might have some congregations with elders by now. So what do you do? Well, how about now? We start thinking about it, so 20 years from now, we won't be saying the same thing. So I spent a lot of time talking to these men about here's thinking about eldership. We have several Christian schools in Kenya. I'm all for anybody who can going into self-educated in the Bible. The truth is, these guys are not going to have the opportunity to go out and preach a congregation and not work a secular job. There's just not enough money to be able to do that. I mean, we're graduating at Thomas Giesen typically 12, 14 years because of the pandemic, we're a little down. Consumer getting school preaching, they're graduating in 16, 18. Try to find support for all these things. It just can't be done. They need to do it differently. And some of these guys who are educated in the Bible, in my opinion, don't need to be thinking about going out and And if and then, you know, say you're 25, 26 years old, 20 years from now, hopefully you'll be in a position to be an elder of the church. So that's what we were talking about. And I'll get bogged down on that if I don't go on. However, I do want to point this out, that that ain't working. Right now, and for some time, I've been sending money to get a new building built here. If you look at the building, as you can see behind me, look at the wall on the right. It may look like the camera is crooked. No, the camera isn't crooked, but the wall is that crooked. So it's about time for it. And they've got a good start on it. In fact, with money raised this time, we're able to get a thing on the roof, and we're going to get some more. Some more progress now on that. But you see what I'm talking about back there at the end? You see how that light? Can you see that thing? You see what I'm talking about? Can you see the wall leaning to the right of the back? Yeah, it's actually leaning that far. So let me speed along the next several days. Of course, I preached on Sunday at Calvinity, Sunday, April 10th. And that was quite an experience because that was my first time back there since the garden this month. And Rick asked me to preach on our confidence. And so, given the topic of the Sunday, I need to say a couple things about my friend. And I did. I was glad I did so I could talk. And over the next several days, I talked in the school of preaching. And rather challenging, as usual, because of the accent and lots of language barrier. But Thomas Houston School is a school that is taught in English from start to finish. The reason for that is your opportunities for material, for commentaries, for research, they're so much better in English. I mean, you can learn to be a preacher if you only speak Swahili. Your opportunities are quite limited. So this is an English-speaking school, and I was teaching on the topic of eschatology, and I feel like they were on board. I feel like, I don't know about how a teacher did, but I'm very pleased with how the students did, and we're stuck. Not terrible. So at that point, we're now in the country for a week. It's time for you to pick up the rest of the team. We got a nice picture there at the edge of Rift Valley. We've driven past this before, but it is a magnificent sight. And this is the morning after they landed in Nairobi. And we're headed to the side country. The way to get there is going into Rift Valley and you go up into the mountains. So you see some sights here. For instance, I probably should have got a better picture. You may wonder what the caution is about. The caution is not baboons that are just near me, and I suppose that I'm not supposed to be standing there. That's why BJ took the picture. Since he got a picture of me and baboons, he actually was pretty kind to me on how to catch me. It could have been ever so much worse. They sit beside the road waiting for handouts, and I was curious about it. So, our next stop was in the side country, and so I got to put Elizabeth to work here. She had a large group of my side children, and that would be on Sunday morning. And like I said, she made a big hit with the side. And I don't remember the side word, but she got a name. They called her name and said, "We're going to call you this," and means blessing. And I got a new name too. They were calling me the huge bazooka. So I when the guy mentioned that, he said, "So and so were here last night," and they said, "We're sorry to get some huge bazooka." And I could not get straight back there and said that. The only thing I thought was, I need a teacher that says that. But I haven't, obviously can't find one like that, but I will order one. And there we are again before us. Every time we leave the facade, we put it on their shoe leather. And they're very, very inclusive. And that's me doing you the same presentation work. So everybody crouch down while we're getting to it. Next stop was college. Kind of a pickup, I guess you could say. Either up at the side territory or in college country, if you ever looked up on the map. The side territory is down south. In fact, we were within like miles of Tanzania there. So you head north through the Rift Valley and meet up with another tribe. Of course, there are about 52 tribes in Kenya, those tribes and counties. This picture was taken 2 years ago. Some of you all helped me change this a couple of years ago. This is where the Chibubio Church of Christ met. Like I said, the only hiccup was I ate something in the side country that wasn't good or in college, and I don't know who to blame. But it was an ugly situation. And how did I phrase this delicately? Their toilets, many of them, are not what you expect. And through careful planning and self-control, I have never met in a situation where you have to try to use these toilets that don't have seats. Okay, that didn't happen this time. it was not a good situation. That's all the details we'll give you here. But I'll be a little careful with what I eat in the future, I think. But anyway, we're back in Chibubio, and that was down here for me. They were just thrilled to be able to greet us and, talk about their own needs. I can say they really don't. I tell them, in fact, we'll help with this and so on and so forth. They also wanted me to come and make a quick visit to a new school of preaching that's in that area. I'm very excited about it. It's at Bonetta, which is so certain there. Here's why it's important. About, I'd say, 10 years ago, there were maybe 30, 35 Churches of Christ in Rift Valley. That's most of the counties in the country. They all left the faith. They all departed from New Testament worship. They all got corrupted by, I'll blurt it out, by non-Israel ACP. And so they were all unfaithful. They taught non-Israel doctrine of worship in a denominational fashion. Brother North, Brother Frode, beginning about, I would say, 6 years ago, became a name of the church. So, yes. I mean, liberals in the church have destroyed the church. That's just a fact. So, the North of Frode has been employed in working with these congregations, and they've been having success. This is one of the successful ones. So now, I don't know, there's maybe 10 or 12 that came back to fire. And the reason this preaching school is maybe more important than one that I'm associated with, this is ground zero. See, you're educating guys, training men in Bible right where it needs to happen. I think over the next 10 years or so, those men are going to happen. So I'm very about that. Got to talk when I got back with a man in Tennessee who's been very familiar with getting back to that preaching school board. So that was just particularly difficult. So, incidentally, the days I was teaching, I was also doing some evangelism after the class. And I was able to study with four ladies, and two of them were maybe in their early 20s. One was old enough to be their mother, and one of them was old enough to be their grandmother. Medical related, and think there's a strong possibility of it going to happen. And that's up to the running member. I think she saw the truth, but I think the family is going to keep her from letting the gospel. She was a Saturday activist, as many of them are. The other young lady was convinced the truth of the gospel. She wanted her husband there, so but he was not able to do a week. So, and this is leading forward. The Saturday after I left, they continued to study with her, and they was there, and her husband was in his house. And they both were baptized. So that was pretty interesting for them. But, okay, so now we got the rest of the team there. We've been in the Messiah country, my second Sunday. Calvary country, where again Elizabeth had her kids' classes and doing very well. And so now we're home, and our purpose over the next few days is just to do door-to-door evangelism. And we do that locally in Calvary for 2 days. And then we have, incidentally, we make one stop. You probably won't remember this place, and I've shown you pictures of it before. This is in D.C., which is probably a half hour from Calvary, which is where I'm going to work. In D.C., I became concerned about the building a couple of years ago, and I think I was talking with Mary Ingram on Facebook, Facebook call, and I was describing the building, and I was telling her, I said, we've got to do something about this. I was thinking I was going to go there and suggest some repairs. Well, we had to look at it. After I looked at it, I told her on the phone, I said, I could tear their building down with my bare hands in half an hour. And she said, really? Bruce said, 10 minutes! Not before the year. And he's probably right, more like 10 minutes. That's him breaking off a piece of wood. So, anyway, great news. I decided to put that in Van's back and said, Van, I would just love for you to take care of this building situation. So, I don't worry about it. So, it looks like he's going to be in charge of that, and I think we're going to be able to build a new building for it. So, that's great news. Rather peaceless. We had a policy in the 40s. I assume he's a big Napoleon. That's it appears that he was a precious man. He's a wonderful man, a faithful man. I've been at the scene for the first time I've ever been in D.C. when I wasn't there to preach. But our purpose was just to let man also teach him because the congregation person that may be helpful with this, get him up to speed on Zoom. It's a good time for me to pause. Any questions? I have a tendency to start writing a little fast and a lot of stuff to do. All right, just keep in mind there will be another pause. So if you have a question, there will be an opportunity to have a question. While we were in D.C., Elizabeth was here and a group of kids. This time we have a better system because the young lady next to her He said, Fred went home, DJ went home, and me and the Van and TJ ended up making the trek down the lake of Troy to baptize both of us in Fisher. And here's what happened. Peru went with it. I'm not sure which one that Elizabeth might be, but she went from. Peru went with me. The general's name was Godfrey. Godfrey was 67 years old. When I stepped into his house was full. There were over 20 people sitting all over the place, laborers and things. This one of the stars did not have a plan of words in my head. Because I looked around and I thought, this just reminds me what happened to that skin. My sister, when he was called his kinsman and near relative, his dear friends. All together to listen to what Peter is. After we had visited with them, I said, Godfrey, we had been there. He didn't want to say yes. I said, I understand why. I said, I think you're probably too humble to say yes. So I'm going to rephrase it. Do you try to do the right? I said, I would study with you about a man that I read in the description right off in the Acts chapter 10. It was a man that prayed God always gave much almost to the people who were. And I said, that sounds like the scripture is pretty good. Go to Acts 11, verse 14, you're going to find he's unsaved. Bible says that. The Lord had said for me, and said for Peter, he will tell you the words by which you will be saved. He said, if he's going to give you words by which he will be saved, he's not saved. He's not saved. He said, many were forbidden questions from the other people. Like I said, there were 27 people there, most of them were laborers. We got down to the end, and I said, God here will ask you a question. It's not a question that has an answer in the Bible. I know men, I know the Father. And I think you do too. No one wants to know about Cornelius. The Bible says he and his household were baptized. Who do you think the first one in line would be baptized? It's from the text. Got something that important for you, important for your family. And I asked him, I said, do you need your family to put you on? He said, yes. We baptized him. I had some pretty good hope that there were some others there that I talked. We need some more teaching, we need some more convincing. But that day, that Thursday, was awesome. We had to walk about a quarter, half a mile down Lake Victoria. At this point, it's kind of strange culturally because Godfrey and I walked down to Lake Victoria holding hands. That's what you do in Canada. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean I'm going to hold any fellow's hands tonight or any other time. But in Kenya, it means you're in fellowship. I'm going to be smart remarks for you. But anyway, that's what you do. You walk around with the water, holding hands, and just great. That was the thing that we baptized and we were together. Again, quite the ordeal getting there. I'm celebrating. The road to the Hoover Bank, it has potholes like I've never seen. You don't get these potholes, and I'm going to tell you, you go down into these potholes and come up the other side. And some of them, I'm thinking, do we really know how deep this is? We've been around some footage here of various people being baptized, some of them in some of them in Lake Victoria, some of them in Salt Lake City. Like I said, 17 writing towns in Egypt, at least. And we ended up baptizing 17, two whose words were in the church. And I believe they're working. And all this is due to the generosity of the brethren. But I got one more story to tell about how we get out of here. Getting tested four other ways was insane. I mean, they make you get a test that typically takes more than 3 days to get the results back, but you have to take it within 3 days to get it leaving. So I ended up taking two tests, something one to get back in time. Fortunately, they were good. Now, leaving did. You have to get tested again. And so we're on our way soon to get tested. Early Friday morning. Bear in mind, I'm making a plane 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 hours early, 5 o'clock. And so we get right in the middle of the soon to stop and grid structure start. Battery inside. And this is not something where we can just wait on something. He flags down two of these 90-year-old 100cc motorcycles they ride around on. And here I go across the city on the back of one of these motorcycles. The last time that happened, I swore it would never happen again, and I'm wrong. I mean, they're going around the house, and the car was bumped right there. And we had to go over there, but on the other hand, truthfully, I always said, don't give me a story for it. And so I thought that's a pretty good story. I mean, fly across the middle of the town, it's quite an adventure. Then get to the hospital. And there's nothing fishy about this at all. In order to get your test, you go in and sit on a bench, and the guy comes in and sits there beside you, and he hands you money in cash. He sticks it in his pocket, and then you go get your test. But I'm pretty sure the money ensures that you get a negative test. I don't think there's any way I pay that money and it comes back positive. And in fact, one of the members of the group expressed concern about getting results, and the reply was, and I quote, "Don't worry, your test will be negative." And you know the truth is, I'm okay with that. At that point, anything keeps me from missing my flight, I'm good with it. Just don't ask questions. That's the truth. All right. Any questions? No. Oh, by the way, they were there another week. DJ was teaching the school band and was looking to work with the evangelist and various other things. And yeah, could not be more pleased. Fantastic. Yeah.
So, Dan, I know typically this takes a long healing, right? So, when you're doing these house to house calls, have you always estimated a
Yeah, but not Swahili. In the house stuff, it's always in the local language. That's the one that everybody grows to go personally. Swahili, I only encounter in Western Kenya because they have several different tribes. So Swahili is what it's translated into.
So for those that have been baptized, for example, are they able to get a Bible in a local language, or how does that work?
Bibles are available. And the funny thing is, English Bible is not a bad thing because despite the inability to communicate the spoken word, the written word, not so bad. For instance, that Lady Mary I was telling you about, we had a good English Bible, and I had to read verses. Now, if I had known what she was reading, I would have known what well, she could read fine. It's just the accent is so thick, it might as well be a language barrier, unless they are very useful Americans. So yeah, shorter answer is there always needs to be a translator. And when I'm preaching in public there, and even this is partly for the benefit of the translator, who often has to stop and say it's not yeah, which is repeat. But it takes a while to get back in the habit of this, it's just a day or so. But instead of speaking like I usually do now, I can't do much about my accent. So what I do is speak and enunciate everything. And that seems to help. So I sound more like this instead of running everything together with a couple of acts.
How do you speak? Do you have to go 3 sentences at a time and pause?
That's funny, because you end up sort of settling into a rhythm with your translator. Again, it takes some time to happen. So it's kind of interesting. And at first it'll be awkward, you'll say too much, you'll say too little, but after a while you kind of end up going into a rhythm. The other thing, as far as preaching, you don't go into a great deal of detail. There are certain things you tend to be like, you possibly think about it, take slices.
Charge of school preaching them. Is that Baruch?
Baruch was on it, yes.
Is that the brother?
Yes. Our brother in the flesh of the Lord. Hopefully.